English clubs about winning trophies. I'm inexperienced in a lot of those things.
Sorry for smiling there.
Almost lost the cup and you win it. The new European champions, the treble, the dream come true for you.
Oh, I can't believe it. I can't believe it. Football, by the hell. But they never give in. That's the winner.
Welcome to the American Red Devils podcast. I'm John.
I'm Alex.
And we're bringing you the best Manchester United news from this side of the pond.
Woo, sir. How you doing? How you doing? I don't know about best Manchester United news. It's been a minute since we had something to celebrate. Manchester United drop points again. Typical fashion. Rude chances, but really, they just came out flat as a duck in the second half. And they were players were walking in the 48th minute. We conceded unbelievably soft, and United dropped more points. Could have been fourth place, because the people around us continue to fall. But United, just a horror show at the moment, sir. You know, the players look like they couldn't be bothered, some of them. They weren't even running. Like, come on, same problem that happened last game. Came out of the gate in the second half after getting a good goal in the first. They looked open at some points. But either way, more drop points. Manchester United fans are probably boiling over at the moment. I woke up so early, I just like to get the pain out of the way early, 4:30 in the a.m. You get it done with. Get the whole rest of the day to focus on something else. How are we feeling?
Shout out to all the American Red Devils around the world. Making time in their day to watch this football club at the moment. I mean, you got Middlesbrough, you got Burnley, and then you got a 4:30 a.m. here on the West Coast. And man, did this team let you down in predictable fashion. But sir, I had to take the glass half full. You know, bear with me here.
Let's hear it.
We drew Middlesbrough. Then we drew Burnley, you know, getting to the Premier League. Then we drew Southampton. So we're kind of drawing up the table here, getting ready for March. So I hate to say it. I did predict 1-1. Game was open. We didn't take our chances again. Ronaldo looks like, yeah, he's getting up there, sir. Looking like Falcao out there, your boy. I know you had that Falcao shirt back in the day. You love that one.
I got a new one for you, my man.
Number one foul count.
Number one. He did great. He is. So we got two aging strikers. Ralph talked about it. Talked about the fact that we're going to need a new striker in the summer. We also lost our upcoming striker. Mason's gone. So we're going to have some real replacements to bring in. In addition to that midfield, this is what we talk about, kicking the can, John. You talk about it all the time. Manchester United transfer dealings. Sancho. Bled a window, get him the next window. Maguire, bled a window, get him the next window. Now you're looking at, could have picked up a cheapo CDM. Oh, we're going all in Declan Rice in the summer, which is also fucking crazy to spend $100 million on a player again, ever. It's just nuts for especially an English midfielder. But anyway, sir, daylight dollar short, and we got a lot of business to do this summer because Ronaldo probably should leave and Cavani's definitely leaving. So spots to fill.
If Ronaldo came into an already strong United side who had signed that number nine that we were looking at, I think the window when we signed Bruno Fernandes, we say we get Haaland, we have a strong midfield. You add in Ronaldo, sprinkle that, you know, Cantona.
Better Maguire.
You sprinkle that Cantona, Ruud van Nistelrooy, you know, Ibrahimovic, you know, veteran salt on the squad, and you get something special. But Ronaldo wants to play every game. He can't play every game. Oh, by the way, this isn't Italy. This isn't Spain. This is the Premier League, and he forgets how hard it is and how intense it is. So he can't do the running necessary. His speed is, he's a touch off, sir, and he needs to be playing a different role in this team. You can tell that when he sits or he's benched, he's like so upset, and then he plays and he's not finishing. Not really helping this team. Like, you look at that chance in the first half.
The Rashford one.
Just his actual role and where he wants to be, that's the disconnect for United. You add in the Bruno Wijnaldum, you add in the Harry Maguire, can't defend nothing. And this team is all over the board. The injuries, getting rid of the players in January. Oh, by the way, we can use them now. Let's play Jesse Lingard. He wants to leave. You're not going to get anything out of these players. Substitute teacher Ralph Rangnick is in charge. Look, I like Ralph. He's pragmatic. But this team he's playing is similar to what we saw under Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. We haven't really seen him make big calls like dropping Rashford. Rashford should have been dropped. Maguire should have been dropped today. I think Ronaldo shouldn't be playing and starting right now. I think Alanga at nine. We need to be actually making moves. Donny should be playing this team as well, and we're not seeing it. So this is from top to bottom. This is the shit show that Manchester United is right now. We will continue to see it, but we got to take a step back. You can just yell at the players all day, but you have to look at how this club is run, why we're seeing what we're seeing. And like you just pointed out, the issues. You don't sign a number nine, then all of a sudden this Greenwood situation happens. And oh, by the way, Cavani's injured all the time. Oh, by the way, Ronaldo's too old to do it. So who's going to score goals for Manchester United? That really is the question right now. Sancho's doing his job. He's coming into form. But boy, we need goals and we can't get them. We're playing with the outdated number 10 role. We can't drop Bruno. Just same day late, dollar short tactics, day late, dollar short business. Manchester United, they are wearing that jersey, but man, we're a mile off it.
And we're a mile off it because we've had owners sleeping behind the wheel. Worst CEO in global football, and Ed Woodward finally slithers out of the club because they haven't learned any lessons, right? Ralph, he might be the guy to be a manager, right? His best skill suit is building clubs from the top. But he'd probably be the guy to pick the next manager. He picked your boy with the funny suit that did us dirty, Leipzig coach, and now is managing for Bayern Munich. He handpicked him. He wants us to pick Erik ten Hag as the next manager. Manchester United is in love with Mauricio Pochettino. And I had nothing. I really don't want to make this a big Pochettino thing, but it's just like they're doomed to fuck themselves constantly, sir, because they just don't. They don't ever, ever, ever learn from their mistakes ever. And it's like, you know, that's one of the lessons that, like, you know, my son, you're going to have to teach him, is like, you got to fucking learn from your mistakes. You get knocked down, you figure out why you got knocked down, and you learn from the next time. And this team just, like, they keep stepping on a rake, like the Simpsons style, like, you know, Sideshow Bob, sir, and they just kept whacking themselves in the head. And it's insane, bro. And it's insane that they're going to, not even the Pochettino, but it's like, we're going to do Pochettino, we're going to get Kane, we're going to get, which is believable if they bring in Pochettino, because, or like, you know, Declan Rice, the $100 million signings. I think we have to get away from that. The signing that are splashy, big names, I guess, because he's English, but they should just do like bargain buys, smart buys, players that you haven't necessarily heard about, because, dude, it's just lower risk, right? We spent $20 million on DeLow, we spent $50 million on Aaron Wan-Bissaka, and DeLow's going to probably be the player with more longevity. Maybe. I mean, who the hell knows? Because we don't know who the next manager is. But if it was going to go like the Ralph way, it would probably be DeLow based on the player he's come to be. But, sir, club is out of sorts. And it just starts at the top. And it's like, it's bad, man. We're in a bad place. And I don't think it's going to get any better anytime soon. I think it might get worse.
It's operationally bad. That's the whole point. So when you have disjointed operations, the game evolved a long time ago. I would argue by 2010, it was pretty apparent the director of football was the way to go. You need world-class talent in that department. Manchester United have lacked that for a decade. It is 2022. We have sort of a, I don't know, a yes man, somebody who can just have that title so people stop complaining about it, but we didn't go out and scout, interview, and hire the best available talent. Like you said, Ralf Rangnick, he would have been great. A great hire for Manchester United's director of football. Oh, by the way, he's an interim manager at Manchester United right now. Think of how backwards that is. You have world-class director of football talent, a club builder. Now he's on the touchline, drowning in this squad that has lacked any direction. Oh, by the way, that squad is being picked and bragged about by John Murtaugh. He's talking about how we've revamped our recruitment strategy, how everything is going the right way. And that was after Ole was fired. Murtaugh came out and did a big interview talking about how everything's great. So you have to understand, we can go through the contracts. We can go through the depth chart at Manchester United. Who can play on the right wing for Manchester United right now? You have Rashford. He's out of form. Alanga can play there, but he's really a number nine. He should be playing number nine. Who could play? Oh, Ahmad. Facundo. Yeah. Where are these guys? We signed them over a year ago. Why are they out on loan when we actually could use Ahmad at Manchester United right now? Like, Ahmad probably starts today if we had him. Donny probably starts either this next game against Brighton or today if we had him. This is the director of football's job, to ensure that we have the squad that we can go out and compete. And when you don't even have that, and you're looking at the same team we had under Ole, same deficiencies, struggling, no manager can coach that up. No manager can coach this side up. We're drawing against Middlesbrough, Burnley, and I said Southampton. We didn't lose. We were laughing at Spurs losing. At least we drew them.
You knew it'd be
we're
a draw.
We're in a top four race, and by the way, our new comps are Arsenal and Tottenham. Let's hope we can beat them. So we're not out of it. We're in it. We're going to be, I don't know what you call it. So you're eating something you don't like. This is like
this is a shit
sandwich, bro. We're just eating it up at 4:30 in the morning. I'm going nowhere, by the way.
Nowhere.
This team has some players. Fill up that plate again, baby. Like, let's go. I mean, this season, there's a lot on the line. We have Champions League. Let's hope that we can find something here. But Rangnick's chopping and changing. These players look like they can't have it together for 10 minutes after halftime, after what happened against Burnley. Come on, man. This is just this is a rough patch for Manchester United. We got to hold it together as fans. But, man, this club, I'd rather look up than down, because the players, you can yell at them on the day, and that's really sort of the Muppet thing. But you have to look at, why is this team assembled the way it is? Like, why do we have Bruno Fernandes on this team? We have Bruno Fernandes on this team because Ed Woodward could not get the Haaland deal done. We signed Haaland, Sancho crossing that ball into Haaland, and Haaland getting the opportunities that Ronaldo have had over the last three games. Ronaldo and Cavani, he scores those goals, and we win these games.
You say we don't want Bruno Fernandes on this team, bro?
I'm telling you, what, if you're looking to buy a number 9, why did you sign a number 10?
No, we should have bought both.
That's the way totally, the club is run. Yeah. That's all I'm trying to tell you. Like, look, 100%, yeah, 100%. We did get top 4, but I'm saying we needed a young, upcoming, world-class number 9. We still need it. That was how long ago, sir?
Sir, we bought Donny van de Beek when we needed a fucking CDM. We bought a number 10 when we needed a CDM. We put 10 for Ajax. And that's what kind of club we are, because, like, they don't even know what they're doing, bro.
Exactly.
They just take whoever's available. They're like, Donnie's available. We'll do a deal. You can pay us over 4 years. They're like, sold. They have no fucking clue what they're doing, bro.
But that's my point, is if you need a number 9, then why are you getting a number 10?
If you need a number 6, 10, yeah.
If you're getting a number 10, then why are you giving Mata a new deal? And exactly. Then why are you? We have Jesse Lingard. Then you got one. Then you got to get rid of one of them. So you got to sell one of them.
So they got rid of Donny. So Donny is starting for Everton. They're up. And he would be fucking playing today. He would be playing in one of these games. Like, you could tell we just need something. And the fact that we went into January with a stronger team than we have today is an indictment on John Murtaugh. It's an indictment on Richard Arnold, I guess.
Blazers.
It's the Glazers, dude. It's embarrassing. That's really a lot of this. You know what? Rashford and Pogba came out walking in the second half. We conceded that goal. That's a big part of it. But either way, this team is just like in fucking disarray because it's been mismanaged to like an unbelievable degree. So we just have many examples that it's getting like, it comes to a point where we're like, yeah, we get it. But it's almost absurd how many mistakes they've made over the last 10 years.
But it's like, you know, for all the Americans out there, you have to equate it to American football. And obviously, you know, this is much more difficult, but it's you hire the GM. The GM hires the coach. They're on the same page. Then they build the talent around the system that they both agree upon and the vision going forward. So you need the director of football. The director of football has to then be on the same page or hire the coach. And then they have to be building out the team for the future, the foundations of how the new manager wants to play. And instead, Manchester United are literally like signing Declan Rice and then making whatever manager they decide to pick. No one's going to turn down this job to play with whatever the fuck they got. And whatever the hell we got is absolutely scrambled eggs, like you talked about. We needed a 6. We got another 10/8. It's just this all over the board strategy. There's nothing behind it. Day late, dollar short. And this is why we're seeing Ronaldo. Ronaldo he's old and he wants to play every game. No one told him that he needed to play a bit part role. And this whole squad is just like, and by the way, we're playing with like can't bench Bruno. Got to play the number 10. Oh, by the way, does City play that way? Absolutely not. Do Liverpool play that way? No. Do Chelsea play that way? Who runs the team in Chelsea? Jorginho.
Bruno Conte. Bruno played better than Pogba,
no, but
bro.
They don't play this style. No one plays the 10 anymore. The 10 died. Playing number 10 was like Chelsea played Mata at 10. That's when it was in fashion. Now it's no longer the way you play. Your midfield has more defensive responsibility. Kevin De Bruyne is playing deeper. Your wingbacks do the attacking, and your front three, they have the freedom to go. Now when you have Bruno up there, too many people up. We get caught out all the time. Things have changed and United haven't evolved. And oh, by the way, why are we playing that way? It's because we couldn't get Haaland. You get Bruno. He's great. Undroppable. Can't play him in the 4-3-3, really. We're trying, but it's too hard. And this is where this club is at the moment. And like I said, more it's good. I hope Rangnick can figure it out, but as sure as a shit sandwich, we're going to be watching this for a few, probably another year or two.
Year or two, or more than a decade or two.
All right, sir. Well, yes. Let's get into this podcast. It's a spicy one, but I'm trying to give that angle of why we are watching what we're watching, because you can yell at Harry Maguire all goddamn day, you know, but you have to see, like, why are these players assembled? Why we have interim coach? And this is just, it's, you're seeing what this is resulting in. And by the way, everyone's making bank, except for the America Red Devils. And that's one way.
Or not.
We had a quick PSA for the podcast. If you love the America Red Devils podcast, you should join our Discord. We have a great community on Discord, over 300 members. We talk during match days, talk about transfer news, all this stuff in between. Please check out our Discord channel. There's an invite link on Twitter. It's pinned to our Twitter profile. Please check it out. If you're looking for more Muppeteers, want to talk to more Muppets, jump on our Discord channel. Also, if you want to support us, check out our Patreon page. We don't have any commercial sponsors on this podcast, and the best way we think you can support us is via Patreon. Check out our page, www.patreon.com/AmericaRedDevils. We give away pins, stickers, scarves, shirts, you name it. We do an exclusive behind-the-scenes podcast every single month. So if you want more content, check out our Patreon page. Also, our website, www.AmericaRedDevils.com. Great fan-generated blog content there. Check out our store as well. We got hoodies, pins, stickers, scarves, shirts, you name it. We've sold a bunch of Glazers Out scarves this week. It's like, you know, the club is struggling when we start selling Glazers Out scarves. So keep buying those. They're a great way to tell the Glazers to fuck off. Start telling about iTunes reviews.
iTunes reviews. But before I get there, John, you mentioned the blog, fan-generated content. If you are interested in writing for the blog, email us at AmericanRedDevils@gmail.com. We would love to have you. It's a fan voice, and it'd be great to have even more contributors that love about this great club talk about how shit the Glazers are. Another great way to support the American Red Devils, write a 5-star review wherever you listen to this podcast, whether it be on iTunes or on Spotify or the like, and send a screenshot of that to AmericanRedDevils@gmail.com with your mailing address, and I will personally pick, pack, and ship some free American Red Devil merch straight to your door. It's a great way to support the pod, and it's absolutely free. So I just sent a couple items, one to Scotland, one to Norway. Got fans all over the world, best fans in the world. I was trying to get a review, couldn't do it. But anyway, write a review. They're a great way to support the pod, sir. You ready to have some pain? 4 a.m. I woke up.
We had some great reviews. By the way, it's just like the best part about the American Red Devils is just like, this great community we have during the tough times. Everyone can have a laugh. So hashtag pod therapy. Speaking of pod therapy, let's jump into this game. Manchester United won, Southampton won. You didn't need to watch it because I called the score exactly.
I knew it'd be a draw. Draw was the good bet.
We got the lineup. Dave Sayers rolled number one in net. Luke, he's looking impossible with me, pie. He's looking a little chubby. I'm going to say it. He's back to the impossible meat pie.
I was thinking he's back to meat pie. He is back to meat pie.
He was sweating a little bit, looked out of shape. He's back. He's back. For the OGs on the pod knows what that is. He's the impossible meat pie now. Harry, Captain Numpty over here.
Number McGuire,
Champions League Varane, he's untouchable. Then we had Dalot at right back. McTominay playing CDM. Bruno and Pogba, they're playing the pivot, but Bruno's playing 10. If you watch how they're playing, he's giving free roam. You got Rashford on the right, Sancho on the left, and Ronaldo up top. What do you think of this lineup?
I mean, it wasn't too much of a change. I was hoping to see Victor after Harry's horror show, but here we are. Not super surprising, sticking with Pogba again. Ronaldo's going to start. Excited because I want to see Sancho and Rashford get something going. And I think the bright spot of this team is Sancho finally catching some form.
He's looking great. You know, you had to give him time, and he's looking a player. You know, Shaw didn't play too well today. I would like to see a little more rotation, and I hate the Ronaldo start here. I think you had to drop Rashford. I think Ronaldo was a little dicey as well, so. Yeah, I thought you play, I don't want to say Lingard, but, you know, Lingard along. I think you got to rotate. We got so many games. I thought you would see something. And to play Pogba, McTominay, Fernandes again, you know, it shows you were lacking the depth, or you need a Donny. You need somebody to come in. Hannibal, get him involved. You know, he's on the bench, right? It's like this bench is looking light again based on those loans.
Dude, we loaned out. Martial had two assists today. Donny is featured. Like I said, like, we are a weaker team than we were a month ago, and that is a crime.
And Maguire has to be dropped.
No, he has to be.
Maguire has.
So does Rashford. Rashford was terrible today, and CR7 was pretty terrible today too. So like you said, I think just a fresh rotation switch things up. But he's just going strength on paper, dude. He's going with the strongest 11.
I could see you play Rashford if you put a long in, right? Speed. But if you don't, if you put CR7 in, then you got to put a long in. You know, so maybe I'm wrong to suggest you could switch both, but you got to put a long in there because, look, nobody has earned their spot when you're losing to Middlesbrough on penalties and drawing Burnley. It's like time. This is when you make the changes. I thought Lindelof or Ron, by the way, when Harry Maguire was injured, Lindelof or Ron looked like the starting center back pair.
It did.
And then now Maguire is like apparently undroppable. And who knows where this is coming from? This could be coming from upstairs, too. You don't know what Rangnick is dealing with.
He did get COVID. No. Lindelof got COVID and he got sick. So I think that was it.
He's on the bench.
I know. He's back now. He's back. He's back from illness.
Well, he's got to play for against Brighton. Let's jump into that first half, sir. It was a little blurry. And by the way, we're running right from the match into the pod.
It was blurry. That is the right way to phrase it.
My eyes take 10 minutes this early. I'm like, I look at my phone. I can't read the lineup.
Took like an hour.
Start the game strong, but it was open. I thought it was going to be. Saints aren't afraid of us.
Nope.
They almost have a tap in. I can't say that name.
Welcome to my life. Let's go. You said it. That's pretty good.
I don't know. And then 7th minute, Ronaldo, he's passed it. What was it? The Middlesbrough game, he couldn't finish, worth nothing. And then this one, and it's like, and the thing about it is, like, absolutely love Ronaldo, but Haaland buries these goals. You know, that's what I was trying to say.
Ronaldo buries these goals, bro. This is like, Ronaldo should be scoring that goal.
Not in the Premier League anymore. You know, him playing number 9 in this team where he's going to be the focal point, like, get in behind and score and finish these goals. Ruud van Nistelrooy finishes it. Ibrahimovic, you know,
RVP probably finishes
Ibrahimovic. Ibrahimovic's game changed. He couldn't get in behind.
Rooney would finish that.
So I just think his game has changed. His pace is kind of, he's like a step behind and he's still not adjusting his game. You know, Cavani can't get in behind anymore. You see him kind of, his movement is what dictates how successful he is. But Ronaldo here got to bury this one. And again, if we had a young world-class number 9, probably goes in. Like Alonga? You think Alonga finishes that?
Yeah, he does. He does, sir. He does. He's not playing well. He's been on a skid. He's on his longest goal drought in a decade, 10 years.
And he's came back to England, right? So, I mean, this is Premier League. The Premier League is ruthless. Imagine 10th place Southampton playing like that. That's 10th place that showed up at our house.
Dude, people talk about this league like it's...
They look good.
Yeah, like it's on parity with... This is... Every team in this league could beat you. You know, it's like there's no easy games. We talk about that, but because of the... the competitiveness. All these clubs are run better than Manchester United. Like every single club, basically in the Premier League, maybe one or two, you know, like who's the bottom? Watford. But like even them, dude, if you look at how they use their budget versus how we use our budget, they are better run clubs, so...
Let's get into this goal.
This is something to celebrate. 21st minute. This is a United counter-attacking goal. Good to see it.
Smartly by Dallow. Bruno Fernandes with an elegant turn and a beautifully weighted ball for Marcus Rashford. It's Rashford. It's Sancho. It's 1-0 United. Sumptuous for Manchester United. Walker Peters in the goal.
Sir, it was the best of times. It was the worst of times. That is a beautiful Manchester United counterattack cut through, facilitated by Bruno Fernandes. Who else? And most importantly, selfless fucking football. Rashford picks his head up. Best thing he did all day. Finds Sancho very well. Sancho gets it in. A little bit of a deflect from a defender, but great goal. And just, we didn't see enough of just like selfless football, quick, fast counter. When we did counter, we looked good. Like that part of Ralph Rangnick's game plan, I think, is having an impact. But when we didn't do it, we just look like Ole ball, you know, look like old United. So started well, a lot of promise.
No, absolutely. I mean, this is a good goal. I think we can almost wrap up the first half here with this one, 1-0. United kind of, it was bend don't break for the last sort of 10 minutes. We really kind of were all over the board. And this is one thing about Manchester United that we are lacking, that veteran out there, where it's like, clearly the game's opening up. It's really back and forth. All of a sudden we get the ball. That's when somebody's got to calm it down. It's like right before halftime, you know, we got to get control of the game. I think in certain positions, in certain phases of the game, United have to kind of know when to play the open game and then know when Southampton's getting the best of us and kind of play for control. I think that that word Rangnick uses a lot, control. I think we kind of lost control as the first half ended. Right. We did have our moments early. Right. So when the game's open and we're seeing these counter opportunities with Ronaldo, there's another great one with Sancho where he didn't find Ronaldo or Rashford. Rashford had some chances for service into the box, couldn't connect. Like, we were getting the best of him early. And then all of a sudden Southampton looked to be getting the best of us. And that's kind of when we need to slow things down, get a grip on the game. Also, right before half, I think the low cleared it out for a throw in and Bruno just starts yelling at him.
Yeah, that was bad.
That is one thing where I had to highlight that moment, because that's a bad, that's like, it wasn't a big deal. It was like in our third, Dalot had nobody, and then Bruno starts screaming at him, and then Dalot has to like yell at him back, and it's like, we're up a goal.
No, it's a bad look.
And it was, and that's where you kind of have to, sir, I'm not going to, Bruno, you know, it's one of those things that people want him to be captain. The captain doesn't do that. I mean, like, if I don't know. That's a bad look to me.
No, he's a hothead
in that position.
He's definitely a hothead.
The head sulk, the arm throwing, that kind of is how we are, this team. You know, it's a little bit of goes against us. We're kind of yelling at each other and throwing our hands in the air. And there's a bunch of individuals. I don't think captain material does that, right? I did think he should have been captain when he was kind of coming in early. But De Gea looks to be my man, honestly.
If
you had to pick one,
I think
won the title with United, he's got to be the captain. But I had to make that comment on Bruno because that was not a good look.
No, that was not a good look. And that is probably why he's not captain, sir, is because, like, as much of a soft, wet, soaked blanket Harry Maguire is, he has a much better ability to keep his composure than Ronaldo and the man we're talking about, Bruno, who flies off the handles, which he did today. And it's a bad look because you're up and you should just, like, you should be building him up. He's a young kid from your country. That was a weird one.
And then we had that Pogba offsides goal in the 46. We went to half 1-0. I was relieved here a little bit, but we all know it's all about the next goal, right? And, sir, you want to start that second half? We kind of started it as we finished it. And Burnley, Groundhog Day, give me the goal.
Sir, Rashford, you're walking.
Perot. Elianusi.
It's like the shittiest goal conceded. I mean, it's like such a typical Manchester United. It's like just started the half, you know, they get the ball back. Rashford loses the ball. He doesn't track back at all. Pogba doesn't track back at all. And it's just like, we're caught out. Dude, people are sleeping. We're fucking a goal up. And this is just like you talked about. We talk about all the time. This team lacks focus. This team lacks intensity. They can't play a fucking full 90 minutes. And this goal, it's such a bad goal, and it didn't stop there. It was like we could have lost this game in the second half, sir. We looked out of sorts at times.
Mentality.
Got none of it.
I mean, you're watching that Wayne Rooney. I haven't watched the Wayne Rooney documentary. I'm going to probably watch it today. But I mean, he talked about how he was angry and just like aggressive and how he took everything out in the game. And these players, this is where I was talking about that Bruno vibe. You know, goal goes in, head down, you know, like wear our emotion on our sleeves. I don't know, you know, 54th minute. What do we talk about against Burnley? Dave saves. Dave's at the bail us out. Big save. Saints growing into the game. Oh no, we're sulking, sir. Their heads are down. I tweeted it. Their heads are down.
They are. They were.
57th minute. Maguire had a lame effort from a free kick. Bounced to him.
Had to score that.
So the Peaky Blinders keeper. You should be wearing one of those hats. You know, honestly, that keeper.
Like a, yeah, I know exactly.
I forget his name. Like he like looks like he should be in the Peaky Blinders.
Like a newsie, like a newsie
hat.
Yeah,
the newsie hat. You should be wearing like he should be wearing suspenders out there.
Sorry, he looks like he's from 1880.
Yeah, he should have, you know, like some he should have some like whiskey in his goal. Like, oh my God, 61st minute, Pogba bicycle kick.
Sir.
Yeah, here you go. I mean, like I mean, that.
Come on, bro. It's like stay on your fucking feet. What is that? That is absurd. I don't know.
No, I look. Go. I'm not gonna yell at him for trying. I mean, it would have been spectacular.
But
going in,
I think he could have gotten it with his head.
I'd have to watch it again. I'm not gonna hate on that.
I'm not hate. I mean, I just think that's
67th
like
minute. United open at the back again, and this is kind of where it all falls apart. we're dying for a sub. Rangnick taking the page out of Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. Late subs. We're dying for a sub here. 71st minute, Saints with another chance. They're building into the game. Ronaldo scores, but he's offsides again. We've seen this before. 75th minute, sub at Longa for Scotty McSauce. Rangnick goes all in here. I thought that was very interesting. I thought Rashford needed to go.
So did I. But I did like that. You know, he definitely was too late on the subs. Rashford should have been pulled like the 55th minute. He looked really out of sorts. But I agree, sir. It was like he needs to make subs earlier. He definitely has a little bit of that old.
But we're getting to the point. Who are you going to put in now? That's when you true. Look it's at that depleted bench? Yeah. So like I do have to. Yeah, I'm calling for subs, but it's more just like get Rashford off because he's not playing well. 80th minute, Rashford wastes a good ball over the top from Bruno. 82nd, Lingard for Rashford. Lingard came on, didn't do anything. A lot of complaining in the ref here. A lot of whinging. It's kind of all we were doing. Maguire gets beat like a dog.
Like a dog. Like that was.
And almost gave away a pet. I mean, like, this is just why you can't put him on the field right now. He seems to be in bad form. I think that I'm not going to say he's playing really poorly right now. And when he plays poorly, he seems to be on a streak. So yeah. You got to bench him. Yeah. I think we won't see him next game.
No, I think then, you have to bench him, sir. He was just, he did this three times this game. Like, come out to the halfway line and just get, like, beat. And then all of a sudden you're like, you know, he's trying to get that a steam engine moving again, sir. He's a lot of mass to move, and he ain't very quick.
Bruno with a great free kick in the 93rd minute. Maguire's header saved by the Peaky Blinders again. then Bruno had a follow-up chance. But yeah, that's all she wrote is 1-1. Things in the game that I noticed. Rashford giving like bad giveaway. Like
bad
giveaway, and then not even running back. That to me, like I saw
that was the goal, dude.
Time.
That was the goal.
But there was a different one too where I think he went inside with it, kept going inside. He came from outside, inside.
A lot of hero ball.
And then he just gave it away and then walked back. There was another one in the first half, same thing, gave it away, like walk back. But that's the mentality. So like the forwards go up there, they're cheap with the ball. Then it's a huge break for Southampton and people don't get back for United. Pogba had a good first half. But you understand, like these types of players, like Bruno's not tracking back. Pogba's not tracking back. Rashford's not tracking back. Sancho, then you have Ronaldo is definitely not tracking. So, and then it's all on our defense and we're always outnumbered. It's like, this is the problem with Manchester United. This is what I was talking about playing the 10. We don't have that discipline midfield and you have to, it's like you have Shaw up front. He pushes ahead. Then Rashford has a bad giveaway. Shaw's deep. Then you only have five defending. If you're lucky at Manchester. And so we're so exposed. It's so sloppy. And this type of attitude around the team where it's acceptable to give the ball away and walk back and then everyone's out of position and
madness.
It is madness, but that's what happens when you play with Ronaldo, Rashford, Sancho, and then Bruno.
And Pogba.
No midfielder on Manchester City, on the Scouse Bastards, on Chelsea, every single midfielder tracks back. They have to. In the modern game, There is no number 10 on that team that doesn't track back. Every single player in that midfield has to go box to box all goddamn day. That's where the sport is. And we're playing like we don't need to.
I know.
And that's what doesn't make any sense to me. Which is like we're playing the 2010 style in 2022. And Rangnick should know that, but he's hasn't managed in a while.
I don't think it's him. I think it's like they can't fucking run for 90 minutes. So they did it in the first half for like 30 minutes. And then same thing as Burnley, come out second half and just do the sleeping. Like you said, you can't have half your team tracking back because then it puts a lot of pressure on Harry Maguire, Raphael Varane, and our fullbacks, who are like competent, but it puts a lot of pressure on them. And that's why they often fold, because they're playing with bad numbers and they were caught out early. They're caught out often. Most times it was because of like a lack of effort. And that is where it doesn't make sense to get rid of players that are going to be motivated to play, like a Donny van de Beek. And, you know, Martial is also often fit in this camp of like questioning his work ethic, but you think he has something to play for. Ahmad would certainly have something to play for. I know he would be running. So I just like, I think you got to freshen things up, but it comes to the point where like this, it's almost, we went from having a lot of choices to having like very few choices on the bench. It is a very, very thin squad all of a sudden. And we did it to ourselves, crazily enough. We lost three attacking players in January by our own
decision. It doesn't matter how good the players on the field are if they don't do their goddamn job. And that's the point. It's like Rangnick's trying to play the 4-3-3. And in the 4-3-3 in the Premier League in 2022, every single midfielder tracks back. And that is Paul Pogba, Bruno Fernandes, and Scott McTominay. It's not like Bruno and Pogba do whatever they want. Then McTominay has to do all the defending. That doesn't exist anywhere in the Premier League. You got to start comping yourself to these teams that are doing it right. And we're not. And it's like, that's the scary part. Is that it's the same thing over and over again. It's like three forwards up there who don't do any tracking back. You look at the goal where Rashford wasn't doing it. You look at how Bruno plays. No, we're playing like a 4-2-3-1. Bruno's the 10, and Pogba sometimes plays like he's an 8. But if you look at how Kevin De Bruyne plays, he plays from deeper. He's able to hit those passes longer. He tracks back. These types of players that are winning leagues and they're structurally sound in the midfield. They don't play like Manchester United play. It's like, it's an absolute mess. And Rangnick is the one in charge. I'm surprised that after three games of seeing this bullshit, it's like, we haven't seen an improvement. And maybe that could be on the player. I don't know, but it's really messy. And the problems are very clear to see and how we're lining up. And that's why we always get cut out and then everyone's going to yell at the defenders, but look at how it's getting there. Look at how many breakaway opportunities Southampton had that were completely unnecessary turnovers in their final third, and then people not tracking back. And it's like you can't win football games like that. You look at how the game's being played. The keepers now have to be ball playing players. Everyone's involved in the entire phase of play, except for Manchester United. We just shift four people up there to hang out, and then everyone else got to do the dirty work. It makes no sense.
Sir, I am speechless. I am without speech. You can blame the manager. Subs were late. Doesn't have a very big bench. Certainly blame the players. You know, we continue to blame the owners, rightfully so. But either way, we need to start playing ourselves into form ASAP because these games aren't stopping. And we got a big Champions League tie, sir. And it's like they're a better team than Southampton.
It's fundamentals. This is fundamentals. In 2022, this is fundamentals of football. And this is like a do your job, like accountability thing. And we are not doing it. And that's how we're losing to these bad teams. Like, we're not losing. We're drawing. Fine. I always say that, but it feels like that on this podcast. But it's like, how can Manchester United like lose to Middlesbrough? How can Manchester United draw Burnley and draw Southampton? And the answer is we're not fundamentally sound on the field. Now, whether Rangnick's telling the players to do it and then they're not, I agree. It's patchwork around the squad. The board's to blame. But like the fundamentals, that's why you look at Southampton. We have better players, but fundamentally, they're a much more sound team. Hansen Hoodle, Mr. Gloves on the touchline over there. I mean, he looks like a proper maniac.
He's a fucking nut job,
but his team's playing
bro.
Well. But if you can't do the fundamentals right, you can't beat the Southamptons. that's really the core of the problem. And the players didn't do the fundamentals under Ole. The players aren't doing it under Rangnick. And what makes you think that Pochettino can fix it? That's the whole point I'm trying to get at the end of the day. Because the players apparently want them, and that's a laugh. Getting into the stats, sir. 12 shots for United, 13 for Southampton, 8 on target for Manchester United to 4 to Southampton. We had 53% of the ball, 47% to Southampton. They came to our house. They were not afraid. They worked really hard, arguably outworked us. They played very well. They should have maybe won the game. And they're in 10th in the table, and that's just an indictment of where Manchester United are.
But you spoke to it. It's like this is a league that is defined by physicality, speed, and just like hard work, dude. This is a hard league, and it's because teams like this, like you said, they're better disciplined, they work harder, and today, the way it looked like it, they wanted it more. So like them, the Brightons of the world, these teams are not going away, and they're only going to get better. And Manchester United, like, they have to fucking be physical. They have to win the 50-50s, and they have to play 90 minutes plus. You play 30 minutes, bro, you pick up points against mid-table sides. That just is what's going to happen. And if we play 90 minutes, we should be beating these teams. We play 90 minutes against the top side, you know, it could go either way. But you're not going to play less than half of a fucking football game expect to get a result ever. It just like isn't going to happen in the modern era. The Premier League in 2022 is way too competitive to think you can. We just don't play bad and win like we used to. You know, I mean, maybe that was partly because we were a great team in the day, and great teams create their own luck. But so we're just like, we're not keeping up with the Joneses. We're not even keeping up with the Southamptons.
Southampton wouldn't come to our house and ever have that score sheet. But
never.
You know, no. That's really the problem. These teams are getting at us early and often. Growing into the game, feeling more confident. You feel bad for the fans. Match reaction: for the only second time in Premier League history, Manchester United failed to win back-to-back matches despite being ahead at halftime. The last time they did that was December 1998. Sancho, he's only scored 2 goals in his first 23 appearances in all competition. He's netted 2 in his last 3. He's on the rise. And Manchester United conceded just 11 goals in 12 Premier League games since the departure of Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, having shipped 21 times in 12 league games under the Norwegian during this term. Same term. So if you want to know the real issue with Manchester United, everyone's yelling at Harry Maguire. We're conceding less goals. That was the number one issue when Ole left, right? We are conceding less. They are shit goals. Our attack is really the problem. We are getting chances. They're not linking up. They're not finishing. That's why we're losing these games. It's the attack that is the problem at Manchester United. And oh, by the way, we shipped Tony Martial, who helped us beat West Ham.
That was amazing. He helped them win today, last night. He helped Sevilla win and stay in second place in their league run for La Liga against Real Madrid, sir. It's fucking insane, sir. It's like just because it really was. It hit me. You're watching that game today, and you're seeing like the subs, and then you look at the bench, and you're like, that bench is so thin. That bench is just the doings of Ed Woodward. That is just his failed signings. You know, the fact that we moved down Martial, Ahmad, and Donnie when you could definitely use them. Crazy, crazy talk.
Let's see what the manager had to say.
Let's hear from Ralph. Here we go.
Brilliant first half. Not that many things that we could have done better in the first half. We scored 3 goals, 2 of them disallowed, especially the second one. Nobody can really understand why it was disallowed and why the linesman flagged a foul from Paul Pogba 8 seconds after the foul, if there was a foul, had been committed. But anyway, we should have been at least 2-0 up at halftime. Second half, we didn't start well. We were not aggressive enough. We were not composed enough on the ball. And that's why we allowed them, even the 2 minutes before we conceded the goal. We had 3 times we had won the ball and played tiki-taka football in our own half. Gave away the ball too easily. And then we had our own counter-attack 20 seconds before they scored. But the behavior of our team in those 10 seconds before they scored was just not good enough.
Sir, Nick. I apologize. This is Ralph talking Turf Moor. But you know what? He fooled me because it was basically the same fucking game. So I apologize. But if Ralph had spoken, sir, what do you think the German
Sir, you have the clip. You can pull it up. It's on Manchester United's YouTube. We got time here on the podcast. We're doing it live here. But it is Deja. There you go.
Give me a second.
I'll tell you, the only quote that I need is, or it was very karmic in a sense, is that the Roy Keane quote about how watching Manchester United is not good for your health, it was against Southampton in 2020 when they were beating us 2-0 at halftime. He says, watching this club, not good for your health, sir. Still not good for your health.
I got Ralph, sir. He looks like he's holding it in. Let's see. I'm sure he was happy with the result.
Good afternoon, Mr. Rekman. I'd like to talk to you about comments we discussed yesterday about how your team reacts in the second half. You said prior to the game that there might have been a psychological issue as to why for 20 minutes or so there was an issue in your central midfield. What do you think happened again in this second half to make you concede so early?
I mean, we were fully aware, obviously, after the last couple of games that it would be important to be as compact as we can be, as proactive and as aggressive as we can be, and especially avoid the transitional moments that Southampton is very good at. And then after 2 minutes, exactly that happened again. We were in possession, we were around and in their box, and 10 seconds later we conceded a goal. And this is very frustrating, obviously for us, for me as the head coach, but also for the players themselves. If you could see their reactions after the goal, they were all absolutely disappointed. But this is what still is one of our major problems, that we have to be able to be compact and defend in this compactness as a team.
Is there a concern about your current half-time routine? Is there perhaps not listening to the correct strategy, or perhaps talking too much, or perhaps getting to rest?
I can assure you that we're not talking too much. Our half-time conversation with the team lasts as long as with most or almost all the other teams. It's 4 or 5 minutes. It's the bullet points. It's the most important things. We show them 2 or 3 video footage situations of exactly about that, what we have to be aware of and be wary of. So this is definitely not a problem of our halftime conversation that we're having. Yes, as I said, it's, I think our team with a lot of technical players, with a lot of offensively thinking and behaving players, for them it's difficult to stay compact for a longer period of time for the whole game. And this is one of our problems. And the other one is that we just do not take enough advantage out of the chances that we create. Again, today we had a ratio of expected goal ratio of 2.57 towards 0.7 Southampton. Even in the last 20 minutes, we had a lot of good chances, massive chances. Harry Maguire had 2 of them. Cristiano had 3 or 4 good chances in the whole game. Yes, so it's not a question of being not able to create the chances. It's a question of being not effective enough.
Sorry, I didn't mean to go too long, but you know, when Ralph talks, I like to listen. It's going to be, we're not going to get much more of Ralph, unfortunately. They're going to push him out not too soon from now. But hey, he's called it straight. You know, he did a similar thing they did a couple games ago where he's like, oh, we scored 3 goals. He thinks at least 2 of them should have stood in the first half. But he talks about, you know, lack of aggressiveness, lack of compactness. And we've certainly seen it. And hanging the head, sir, he addressed that. He literally addressed that. And he's like, we got to fix that. Because that is a fucking problem. Not taking our chances, it's a problem. So the same problems that have been ailing this team under this manager, new manager, interim manager, short-lived, he'll be out of here, unfortunately. I don't know if they're just listening. They're just probably not listening to it, but it's the same mistakes made over and over again.
Exactly. And shout out to that sports psychologist doing a great job with the hanging the head. I mean, that's a huge problem that we've seen these players, you know, United, sir, the state of this club right now, it's, it's ripe for just a complete reset, complete blow up of the squad. Honestly, if you're really looking in the mirror, this team's done.
Oh yeah.
It's done. It's got to be completely
more than
just
half
destroyed.
The players. Yeah.
It's got to be destroyed. It's got to be built from scratch. And honestly, controversial take here. You're going to, Alex is going to blow off harder than he did. He will. Pochettino, is hired as Manchester United manager. Bruno Fernandes should be sold. And the reason why I say that is because he's worth a lot of money. You cash out of him. You got to sell good players. Like when everyone's like, that'd be crazy to sell Bruno Fernandes, right? It'd be absolutely nuts to sell him, but you're going to cash it. You need to cash in 100 million. You could buy a new midfield. And that's where we're at. And maybe if the Glazers wanted to put a billion in, you wouldn't need to sell him. But if you look at what he is to this team, he's come down from that high. You heard about the clicks with CR7, that he only plays this one role. We have to fit our team around him. It reminds me of Paul Pogba. We have to fit our midfield around Paul Pogba. These kind of we need more young players who are hungry. People playing for the badge on the front of the shirt versus the name on the back. And if he's not going to sign a new deal, which he hasn't, you have to sell him. And that's more of a Bruno decision than it is a United decision. But this is the type of mode that we should be in. It's like selling Harry Maguire for 30, getting rid of Bruno Fernandes, getting rid of Lindelof, buying new players. Like, we have to get younger. We have to buy upcoming prospects. We have to be thinking a different way than the Declan Rices paying out these big wages. We have to get these big wages off our books. We have to be just changing the mold. What are you going to do? Pay Bruno Fernandes £400,000 a week?
Yeah.
How is that going to look in 6 years? That's the same thing we've been doing. And it's almost like we just got to blow this whole thing up, think completely differently, and build it from scratch. I'm not trying to say pick on Bruno, but I'm saying that type of move to change everything at this club is what's required.
I don't agree. But that's not the point. I hear you. I think the big thing is, like, the only way we're going to get that type of overhaul, is an acquisition, bro. It's the only way it happens. The only way this fucking thing changes is that if the Glazers sell us and someone comes in competent, like, you know, Bonesaw FC or whoever, or even Leeds, Aston Villa, just like smarter people than who are in charge now, because the people in charge now are fucking idiots. And I think Bruno has a role to play, personally, especially if you like got rid of Pogba. Where's your creativity coming from? But I do know what you mean, dude. This thing, the rot, dude, he's a great player.
But it's like playing,
he leads the team. He leads the team in creativity, leads the Premier League in like chances created. Or at least he's up there, sir. So he's a top class player. He's actually produced much more over his period of time than Pogba ever did during his tenure at Manchester United. Like, less injuries, more consistency, more numbers.
Yeah, but the problem is you don't need a midfielder in this day and age to be like, what do you think Kevin De Bruyne? Do you think Kevin De Bruyne?
You don't think there's value in Bruno Fernandes long term?
Let me finish talking. You got me. This is like, I knew you're gonna get hot about this. You got to let me finish talking.
It's a very controversial take.
Does Kevin De Bruyne track back more than Bruno Fernandes? And is Kevin De Bruyne, does he waste the ball less than Bruno Fernandes? What are the answers to those questions? Does his job, and he is more judicious with the ball. Bruno Fernandes doesn't track back, and he wastes and turns over the ball quite a bit. I do agree. You have to look at the stats between those two. Who creates more? They're neck and neck, but the style of play and the discipline that Man City have in their midfield versus how we're getting run over by Southampton and Burnley, mind you, because of the gaps in the middle of the park and people not doing their job. It's almost like we got to be thinking about how we need to be playing 10 years from now, not how it's like the whole Pogba, the Pogba extension. It would kill this club.
But
it's just like the whole thing is like we buy Pogba and then the whole time we're figuring out how to play with Paul Pogba. I feel like Bruno is that same type of player. It's almost like he's too good and we're so attached to him that we can't just rebuild from a base philosophy and then add the players in from there. Does that make sense? So it's like if we have Bruno, we have to play with the 10. If you sell him, you sell him for a lot of money and then you can build from what a director of football and then a manager should want versus trying to play around these all-stars, which are trying to do all the time. So it's not really like a Bruno isn't good argument. It's just more of a, let's figure out how we should play for the next decade, transition this team towards that. Obviously the Glazers won't, but I just think this team really, you know, needs a reset And Haaland, a number nine, is clearly the player that we've always needed for the last 3 years, and it's really showing right now. We always thought it would be Mason. Obviously, we know what happened there, but we really did need somebody who's like 24. Mason was like should be the next in line. Manchester United's always had number nines, and we completely lost the plot.
Why stop at Bruno? You should sell Rashford too, sir. He doesn't track back. He tracks back far less than Bruno Fernandes does, honestly. Loses the ball all the time. Probably lost the ball 6-7 times today. If you're doing an overhaul, why stop there? You get big money for him. Does he fit in the team in the modern era? Maybe. Maybe not. Depends on the manager. Depends on how they want to play.
No, that's a good point. They don't know, actually.
They have no idea how they want to play, bro. They have no fucking idea. They're going to go from German Ralf Rangnick, Gangnam Press, right? 2-2-2, whatever, you know, like German football, high press, high tempo, to Maurizio Pochettino, bro, and playing Bielsa ball. It's just like there's no director of football that has any idea what he's doing to have a continuity about how this team wants to approach the footballing aspect of how we do business, bro. There's nobody thinking about that. It's like Ed Woodward or Ed Woodward's next guy. We're just going to keep calling him Ed Woodward because it's the same thing. Like Richard Arnold is Ed Woodward. They're the same idiot. They decided it'll be Declan Rice, right? So no matter who the next manager is, whether it's Ralph, Maurizio, Eric, it will be probably Declan Rice because they're deciding. And that's the thing. Like, I would imagine Ten Hag is not going to want to come to United because he's going to have choices. And most managers on the up know this club is fucking doomed until they get sold. Because we are, bro. We are fucking doomed until the Glazers get bored and realize this ain't the NFL. You can't just, like, sit and suck for 30 years and then just decide, oh, we could pick up the best quarterback ever, keep fans engaged, win a Super Bowl, and then go back to sucking, bro. Because I bet you Tampa Bay's going to go back to sucking. Because they don't care. They're not engaged. They're fucking checked out asshole billionaires. And the sooner we get sold, the better. And until then, it's like, why stop there, sir? Keep going. Harry Maguire, sell him for what you can. Because he ain't worth shit, bro. He's a fucking $10 million player playing like that.
No, but I fundamentally don't disagree with the statement of, like, you know, obviously Marcus Rashford grew up in Manchester. I don't think you can sell him for that story type of thing. But like I don't think anyone's off the table. The only thing I was trying to say was, from a footballing philosophy perspective, you have to say, why are these games going the way they are? Well, clearly you look at how all the top teams in Europe pretty much are playing. And you look at how Manchester United is playing. And with that sort of 10 non-track back with three forwards who don't track back and then trying to get the fullbacks up, you get exposed. And so you have to figure out, how do you want to play football for the next 10 years? Like Fergie did that and saw where everything was going. He skated to the puck. He rebuilt the team ahead of these big transitions in football. And I just feel like we're asking questions of what's wrong when it's clear as day. And yeah, if Bruno wants to play in the 4-3-3 and play on the right-hand side and do all the dirty work to De Bruyne does and not be as wasteful with the ball at some times, then yeah, he can play that role, but someone's above him has to figure that out and then put the players around him. Obviously Paul Pogba, if he had three more years on his deal, I would say sell him too. I just think you need to be thinking football philosophy first, manager second, players third. And then I almost think the idea of like, well, we have this great player, let's build this around him. We've been doing that for so long. You know, it's we're kind of losing track and we're just falling behind the wayside. And I think you just need to hit that reset button. Nobody's safe. Maguire should be gone. Lindelof should be gone. Shaw should be gone. Like Aaron Wan-Bissaka is gone. Dalot, like that guy's not good enough. Like it's literally it's true.
Sir, what did I say? 30 years, bro. We ain't winning shit for 30 years.
Trent Alexander-Arnold. Like, look at these players that
we need $1 billion, bro. It's like $1 billion rebuild.
If you look at the top teams in Europe, it's like fullbacks are just no joke. You have to have those just like on point. You need a number nine. You have to have a strong, well-organized midfield. You need two center backs here. Like, it's like we do not have that. And so it's almost like you got to hit the reset. That's all I'm trying to say. I'm not picking on Bruno. I'm just saying it would be a controversial move. But sometimes when you're the owner, you got to make the controversial moves to invest for the next 10 years. And that's kind of where that type of move would just blow up the team and reset. And yeah, we'd be fucked. We'd have to not have Champions League for a while. But like, what ultimately fixes our problem? Sir, I'm sure I'm pissing off everyone listening to the pod. Oh, by the way, we're in fifth place. 24 games played. We have 40 points. Tied with West Ham. There is good news. But Arsenal have 39 points. They played 22. So again, if they win those two games in hand, they would be at 45. Tottenham, they did lose to Southampton, which benefited us, but they still have three games in hand. Again, if they win all those, they will have 45. So 5 points off the mark as far as if you true everyone up to 24 games, assume everyone wins, which you know Tottenham and Arsenal won't. We are still in the mix, and that is what tells you the company we're in. West Ham, Arsenal, Tottenham, these teams, like, even though we drew Burnley, even though we Southampton, you would think we would be out of it.
They're just like us. They're as shit as we are. We should be, I mean, today, if we had won this game, we would have been within 5 points of Chelsea, same amount of games, which is unbelievable. But look at the last three draws, right? We've won two, drawn three of our last five games. Villa, we drew. Burnley, we drew. Fucking today, Saints, all those games, arguably, like, United should have enough to win those games. So
it's the same fucking thing.
The same thing always.
We would have won those games last year. We could have been in a title race, bro. And then here's the thing. It's the same fucking story. And this is what you don't realize about when you talk about how we're playing. It's like everything's on the counter. We can only counter teams. This is like for 3 years, we can only counter them, right? And then when we can't score goals on the counter, we drop points. And when teams are well organized, we drop points. And that's what I'm talking about when it comes to how we're playing. This style of play, the whatever, only get 4-2-3-1, this same thing over and over. Can't drop Bruno. He's the only player. Like, this whole thing is what's getting us these results. Man City could put any player they could swap
out. Savaging Bruno today. Savaging Bruno.
No, but I'm saying, like, this is how we're playing. This is the results of how we're playing. How do Scouse Bastards play?
They're machines. How do Chelsea play? They're machines.
How does City play? They play completely different from this.
Do they work hard? Do they run around for 90 minutes? Do they win 50-50s? Do they play hard for their coach?
They control the middle of the park.
Are all the football clubs run well? They're all run well, bro. They're all run very well. It's like, that's just it. It's so fucking simple. It's just, it's leadership. This team has no leadership, and it starts at the top. And it's a joke because everybody knows it's a joke. Like, the players who play for Manchester United know Manchester United now is a fucking joke. Because
there's not one player on any of those teams that plays the role that Bruno Fernandes plays for Manchester United. Not one of those teams is a player that doesn't track back, plays in the middle of the park.
He tracks back put two more than most of our wingers.
But I'm talking about if you look at the average positioning and where they play, those teams are completely different than Manchester United. And we're putting a square peg in a round hole. That position had died a long time ago. It did. And we're seeing the results.
We couldn't score goals without him, bro.
I'm saying he has a role to play, but when you look at Rangnick's lineup, the 4-3-3, and he's basically a free roaming 10 when they play, it's... I'm not blaming Bruno. I'm talking about the system.
It works if he tracks back. Right? It
does. Exactly. Yes.
It works if he runs hard. It'll work.
Kevin De Bruyne plays deeper. He tracks back. He does it all. That's the thing that you need him to do. And this team, too often we see Rashford not tracking back, Ronaldo not.
If Pogba tracked back, he'd be the best player in the world, bro. If Pogba like ran for 90 minutes and stayed fit, he would be the best midfielder like of the last 30 years. And he's not because. And you can say the same, dude, but Bruno has, I'm sorry, but he's been more consistent, but I do get what you mean, bro. We lose
I'm
the
talking
ball.
System. Bruno plays 10 for United, but I'm talking about the system. If you look at the evolution of the game, what's working, and then what we're doing.
We're at an hour. We got a next match. I get it.
No, I know, but we're in crisis, sir.
I know, dude. I know. Free fall, bro.
All right, we got a next match.
Let's top four team. Manchester United. We're a top four team.
Manchester United versus Brighton. We got Old Trafford, sir. Tuesday, it's going to be a tight turnaround. February 15th, 12 p.m. Pacific, 12:15 p.m. Pacific, 3:15 Eastern. Brighton and Hove Albion, by the way, they're not going to be easy to deal with at all, sir. They're ninth.
They just
we
won.
We just drew 10th. We're going to move up. We're going to draw the ninth place team here. Games 1-18, drawn 5, lost 3. Beat them the last 5 games, or first time we ever played, we beat them in the FA Cup in 1909. love me some Brighton, sir. We've seen them play Queen's Park Rangers when they were championship. We went down and watched them play at the Amex. I think you had
that's three the meat pie. It was two. This is the meat pie story that you three. Always. No, it was two, and it was two because three is
it
a
was
lot
five
of meat pies.
Five and a half. I think they cut you off.
He's adding that's more. It. This is like that. It's the fucking fish story equivalent. Every dive, every stadium, I have eaten now six pies. Is it eight?
No, like 12, literally the
I had
shout
two
out
pies.
To the chefs there. They literally before Alex, they didn't have a meat pie cut off. And then they said, okay, we can only have now they have a signs all over the stadium. They can only sell five.
So I'm looking for something on the soundboard to fucking shut you up.
They literally like now they got a rule. Like they call it the Alex rule. You can only have five. Like otherwise you're gonna eat they eat them out of house and home. I prefer Alex has a dark ale. He likes to speak.
If I speak, I am in big trouble. In big trouble. And I don't want to be in big trouble.
Sir, this place, along with Watford Stadium, set the standard. This is why I know Old Trafford's food is fucking garbage, because like Brighton Hove Albion and the Amex, they got a great meat pie and they have cold beer instead of piss warm Carlings. But that's a great stadium. So I think we had to go see them play Stoke on like a Monday night in the rain. Remember that?
It was awesome. It was awesome. Everything about going to Brighton, taking the train on there
it's cool town.
Was absolutely a riot. Brighton's coming in. They beat West Brom in the FA Cup. They drew Palace, they drew Chelsea, they drew Leicester, and then Tottenham beat them 3-1. I guess that's the bar for us today. They play Watford, sir. They're probably halfway through
the
game.
They just finished. They won 2-0.
They won 2-0. So look, Brighton playing well. They're going to be not an easy match for Manchester United. They were founded in 1901. They nicknamed the Seagulls. Brighton played their early professional football in the Southern League before being elected to the Football League in 1920. And then in the late 1990s, Brighton were in the fourth tier of English football and having financial difficulties. And after narrowly avoiding relegation from the Football League to the Conference in 97, a boardroom takeover saved the club from liquidation. And successive promotions in 2001, 2002 brought Brighton back to the second tier. And in 2011, the club moved into the Falmer Stadium after 14 years without a permanent home ground. An unbelievable story. This is why we all love English football, the pyramid. 16-17, Brighton finished second in the EFL Championship and were thus promoted to the Premier League, ending a 34-year absence from the top flight. We saw them that season in 16-17 in the Championship playing against QPR. They were really good.
They were good.
And they knew they were going up at the time. The fans were rocking. Championship games are awesome to go to as well.
They really are. Speaking of, that's a stadium. Fuck, QPR Stadium. That was
Loftus place. Road, baby.
Loftus Road. They served beers out of a bucket. Remember that?
I've been to Loftus Road when they were in the EPL. They didn't serve you out of a bucket. When they were in the championship, when you get in the championship, you get a ladle and a bucket. That's how it works.
I've never seen anything like that. Like, even college, I never saw a beer bucket.
Friday Night Lights. Brighton play the 3-5-1-1. Basuma, we've been linked to him. He plays Gross. Maupai, obviously the famous crying celebration. Lallana as well in the middle of the park. They're going to be a tough team. Show up. United injuries, Matic, Cavani, Bai, and Fred still recovering from COVID, sir. We have injuries there. What is your lineup?
So tough. It's going to be a tough Brighton side. This is like very similar, you would think, to Southampton, right? Play really compact, dangerous on the counter, bunch of pretty good attacking players. One of those teams we talk about that's just well run. Anyway, I got De Gea, Net, Dalot, Lindelof, Varane, Shaw. Scratch Shaw. I hope Telus is available. I'm going to put him in and see if he can have a run out. Do Matic, McTominay, Bruno, Sancho, Alanga, Ronaldo. Who you got, sir?
Not many players you can choose from, how thin we are. De Gea, Dalot, Lindelof, Varane, Telus. I think you got to get rid of Meepai. I think you got to get rid of Maguire. I think you have Pogba, McTominay, Bruno. We don't even have any midfield backup given Fred's out with COVID. Sancho, Alonga, Ronaldo, again, limited in the attack. I'd love to see Ahmad come back, but, you know, we just loaned him out. Booking the bookies, United minus 135, plus 290 on the draw, sir. That you people have been hammering the draws with United lately. They're making a lot of money, and plus 370 for Brighton to win. Given those are the odds, what is your score prediction?
1-1, because Payne is our new friend at Manchester United, sir. What do you got? That confident, huh?
We're due for. I think you know. You know what? My mind says we're gonna lose. 2-1.
Yeah.
My heart says we're going to win 5-1. So, you know, I'll go with United win 5-1. We come roaring back, baby. Let's go. I got to go full Muppet on this one. So it's been too dark. Talk about selling Bruno.
Talk about selling Bruno. Wow. I'm and Rashford. He's selling everybody.
I'm talking about figuring out what the hell we should be doing and then figuring out what players fit that versus the other way around, which is like this all-star, like the poor man's Galacticos ain't working, bro. Cavani, Ronaldo, this whole thing ain't working.
It's not.
It's like this whole thing ain't like this whole big wage bill for like what are we getting out of it? And so it's like it's almost.
Which is why Ralph is perfect, sir. Sorry to cut
like
you off.
Blow it up,
dude. Yeah. They got to blow it up. It's literally it's like he did this at RB. He like got rid of all the old players on big contracts with like expiring.
Who were lazy
and signed players on their second or third contract. He says this distinctly. He's like, you want players that are fucking hungry. That's what I'm saying. Yes, he's not the manager, bro, but he's the director of football. It's like he should take John Murtaugh's job and guide us in the future. Pick the manager, help pick the players. And he's being pushed out, bro. He's being pushed out because he's too much of a straight talker.
We all want players that are going to go out there and just work hard and leave it all on the line for Manchester United. We don't need big money wages. We don't need big all-stars, sir. And ultimately, we didn't need CR7 to come home. As much as the Muppet in me wanted him to come back to Old Trafford, we didn't need him. We needed a young striker who's up and coming in the game. And oh, by the way, Shitty probably got him. And oh, by the way, we're probably going to miss out on Haaland. And oh, by the way, the Italian striker went to Juventus. And oh, by the way, we're going to overpay for someone. And it ain't going to be pretty because Murtaugh's running the show. Let's get into the news. United in the news. Alex, you got a tweet here from Paul Scholes. He's saying some things. When Scholes speaks, we listen.
Let's hear it.
You said there in your little speech that, you know, it's been a bad 7 days. It's been really a bad 6 or 7 months, yeah. Really. You think the season's not been good enough. And now that the sack folly was coming, you know, we all knew that, we all felt that. But where was the plan? You think there has to be a plan. They must be bringing an elite top coach into the football club to revive this. This Man United, they should have the best of everything. And to not have a plan and bring he's a sporting director. Mm. I think he's coached a team 2 years out of the last 10 years. Don't get me wrong, I like the man. I think he comes across really well. His team, he looks like he's lacked experience in coaching in the last 5 or 6 years, whatever it's been. And his team, they're a team of individuals. You look at the difference today in Man United's team to Southampton. And you said then, we have to give Southampton. Southampton were brilliant today. Mm-hmm. I thought the coaching, the methods, the patterns of play, you know, the two centre-forwards, the midfield players were fantastic. And you know, you look at United and they're a little bit all over the place. At one time, McTominay's left on his own in midfield. Then it's Pogba left on his own in midfield. Where Bruno Fernandes is playing, I don't know. He's absolutely all over the pitch. The two wide players, for me, just don't work anywhere near hard enough. And this game, it isn't always about being in possession and doing the great stuff. Sometimes you've got to do the stuff that is ugly and it gives you a bit of pain. You don't like doing it. So often this team jog back and it's so easy to play against.
I think it's...
Sir, Scholesy talks, we listen. He's often right. Talks about the manager. You know, he's like, he likes the way he speaks, but he's a sporting director. Probably coached 2 out of the last 10 years, and you could see it. He's not wrong. Talks about the players, sir. He talks about, well, you used to talk about Bruno. Bruno plays all over the pitch. Don't know what you're doing there. The player's not working hard enough, right? The winger's just not tracking back, not doing the glamorous stuff. Team of individuals.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. We need to blow it up, and we need to get back to these things. Like, we need to get back to do your job. It has to be that simple. It's like, that's the priority. You don't do your job, you don't track back, the manager drops you. I don't care if you're Marcus Rashford. Maybe that's the mentality then. You sit Bruno, you sit Marcus if they don't do what they're told. I mean, there has to be something where the players want Pochettino so they can tell Pochettino what to do.
That's right.
And when Scholes speaks, sir, I have to drop this other piece of news on you. This is one that isn't Manchester United related, but it is Manchester United related because Newcastle just appointed a new director of football.
Any good?
£2 million deal
Is it Murtaugh? Is it his brother? Is it Woodward?
Ed Woodward's coming back?
He's going to Newcastle United.
No, it is Dan Ashworth. And Dan Ashworth was the technical director and director of football at Brighton and Hove Albion. And Manchester United were linked to him in 2018 when we were looking at a director of football. And he basically, his CV, he was academy director of Peterborough United in 2000. In 2001, he became to be the director of excellence at Cambridge United for 3 years, then moved to West Brom. He assisted as youth team manager. And then after that, he went on to be appointed the FA Director of Elite Development. He is one of the creators of the England DNA, an elite player development plan, which aims to help create winning senior teams in the men and women's game. He did that through 2018. And obviously you saw how well England did at the World Cup and the Euros, right? So you're seeing his resume here, strong resume, over 20 years in the game. In 2018, it was reported he was shortlisted by Manchester United as a candidate for technical director. I believe in 2018, we also looked at Rangnick as well. But United decided to hold their dick and not appoint anyone in 2018. And instead, he took the Brighton Hove Albion job. Obviously, Brighton has been playing well. I think a lot of the players he's been bringing through have done well. And Newcastle have appointed him to be their new technical director of football. So, again, just showing where United, this man has a deep CV. He goes from the FA. You look at what's happened in England national team. You look at what he's done for Brighton. That would be a great candidate for the director of football, right? Manchester United decided to pass. Now, you want to take a look at our technical director.
Look at his CV.
You want to look at Darren Fletcher's CV here. In November 2019, Fletcher said he aspired to have a future in management. In October 2020, he returned to Manchester United to coach the under-16 team. And then in January 2021, he became a first-team coach out of nowhere. And in March 2021, he became the technical director of Manchester United. So,
well, give me John Murtaugh's CV, because he's even...
He doesn't even have October 2020. He has like 16 months in professional football. You understand, Darren Fletcher... I rate him as a player, really rate him as a player, but it'd be insanity to promote a technical director who literally coached the under-16 team for a year. And then after coaching the under-16s for a year, he becomes the technical director of Manchester United. Wonder what he had to do to get that job.
It's like appointing Berheffer to the USA job.
So you have a guy from 20 years of experience with proven track record, or you have United legend who's done nothing. I like Fletcher, don't dislike him, but now our technical director's on the touchline with Ralf Rangnick. I don't know how you're the technical director if you're now a coach. So it's uncertain what that actually means, and I'm pretty sure to the Glazers it doesn't mean anything. Murtaugh, look at his CV, our director of football.
Let's see it.
Joined United in November 2013, having worked with David Moyes at Everton. He basically became a performance coach at Everton. Then he was the head of elite performance at the Premier League. Then he worked in the academy and player development roles. And somehow he was involved in the overhaul of the academy, but it's unclear. And he was instrumental into bringing Hannibal Medjbury into Manchester United. So Murtaugh excelled at getting 14, 15, 16-year-olds to come to Manchester United, as well as, you know, being a physio. And then now he's the director of football.
Yeah.
Zero experience. So that's really all you need to know, right? Is you look at who Newcastle United hired. £2 million, that's not a lot of money. And they're going to get someone who knows exactly what they're doing, how to build a club. Now you say, okay, we just went through our the CV of our technical staff. Who's the Manchester City director of football?
He's a fucking heavy, bro. He's exactly what
Dick Steve
he's a
Bergenstein.
Fucking he's a fucking heavy, bro. That's who he is.
He only his experience Barcelona 2003 to 2010. Do you want me to go through
as
Barcelona?
that job, not just as like picking up the balls for the fucking U16s. Like he was the DOF when they picked up a guy called Messi, Xavi, Iniesta, built that. He knows a thing or two. Sir, he's probably the best DOF in the world, bro.
And guess who he bought from Manchester United? Piqué. For very cheap, right? So you look at who's the director of football of Manchester City? Oh, he worked with Barcelona from 2003 to 2010, arguably one of the most successful runs in the history of world football. And then he joined Shitty in 2012 with Pep Guardiola. How has he done since then?
Well,
so that's the point. So when you have owners who pick these staff, how can we compete? And this is what I was trying to say is Newcastle just hired a real deal director of football, and look at the crew that we got going. So when we talk smack, when we talk smack on the pod about these guys, there's a reason. It's like, I don't even think the Brighton guy's done that great of a job, but he has 20 years of experience. You know what I'm saying? It's like,
he's done a better job than Ed Woodward, John Murtaugh, and crew.
That's what I'm saying. So when Newcastle United, like you alerted the last pod, start catching up, it's because they got real guys behind the scenes. Oh, by the way, Liverpool's director of football or technical director is leaving to probably go to Real Madrid based on how successful he's been. So these other competitors, so if you think of United, Real Madrid, Barcelona, these types of teams, why didn't we try to poach the Scouse Bastards director of football, right? He resigned. He's probably going to go to Real Madrid. These guys, we have to start tracking this. This is like when you talk American football, you talk GMs, these DOF candidates, these roles are very big as far as what clubs are doing, given how the game has shifted to one manager controlling everything to the director of football controlling all the ins and outs and then the manager playing in a similar style. It's very switching more to that American football management.
But 6 months ago, there were 19 or 18 teams that were better run in the Premier League than us, excluding Newcastle. They got bought by the Saudis. They're not fucking around. Now there are 19 teams that are running better than us, sir, because this is how you do it. This is how you do it. You don't appoint a John Murtaugh or a Darren Fletcher or an Ed Woodward or a Richard Arnold. But they found one. They found a great one. They found Ralf Rangnick, but he should be the technical. He should be the DOF, and he won't even get that chance because after this year, they'll push him out. He won't be a consultant. He'll be nothing. The writing's on the wall because this club is destined to fail with the Glazers in charge because they're a bunch of fucking morons, unfortunately. Like, they've spent money. They've just pissed $1 billion down the drain with nothing to show for it. Like you said, we need to do an entire rebuild. This team, the stadium, Jesus Christ, that stadium, the whole thing needs $1 billion plus. I mean, the stadium needs $1 billion and the team needs $1 billion. So that's probably $2 billion. The fucking Carrington needs to be rebuilt. That's like behind the times. Leicester's got a nicer one than we do. So we're like miles off. We are miles off and we're only going to get farther off. The longer they stick around, the longer it'll take us to rebound.
Absolutely. And you can see it this week. The win for the Glazers isn't on the pitch. The win for the Glazers is the Tezos kit sponsorship deal.
I know.
Which arguably everyone prayed that around like it's a great thing. And I told you, based on the inflation rate over the other training deal, it's pretty much break even, which is zero growth. They didn't even do a good job. That's the whoring out of this brand, is you're starting to see these deals not even increase in value because who really wants to be associated with the Manchester United on the decline? And then you look at, what did Marcus Rashford tweet out? He tweeted out him and that Tezos kit with a big heart saying, I love Manchester United. Now, you know that he has an agreement with Manchester United. He gets paid for tweeting out these sponsors on his social media.
That's right.
He has to wrap his head around, this team's not playing well. I got to tweet out this stupid Tezos kit. And so he's
fans are going to kill me. Fans are going to kill me, but they're making me.
No, but that's the thing is all these players now with the social media, the rights parts of their contracts.
Right, yeah, totally.
United want the Ronaldos. They want the Rashfords because of that side of the game.
Because of their reach, right? Think about them.
Exactly.
Fucking
so you're not going to rebuild to nobodies and hardworking players because that doesn't do well for the branding, the commercial side of the business. So then you're having this sort of, we've seen this tug of war between the dividend, the debt and the stadium investment. It's just going to be this continued Groundhog Day, where we're paralyzed by our lack of ambition on the pitch, sir. The next bit of news here, you just have to have a laugh here.
I had to.
Pochettino wants Harry Kane at Manchester United. He's not even the manager.
You ready for that? Are you
the
ready
players
for that?
Want him. The players want Pochettino because he's soft. That's right. He wants to, you know, why shouldn't soft serve FC sign the biggest soft serve signing of all time, Harry Kane. And then you know what? We're officially Tottenham Hotspur. If you hire Poch
and you,
you get Harry Kane and he's playing with Harry Maguire, we're officially
come on you Spurs. We're officially come on you Spurs.
It's like that's like a nightmare scenario.
No, I think that is a very likely possibility because like Harry Kane wants to leave. His stock has fucking fallen like a stone since his failed move to go to Manchester City last summer, and those two are like peas in a pod. It's destiny. We're fucked. We're so fucked.
Yeah, it's like that.
And then like ESPN running the whole
Lord help us.
ESPN running the whole Ted Lasso, like Russian Chris Armas. That's an I put that in because that's an anti-American bias. Simple as that. That isn't really like. That is not from a player. That is cooked up by ESPN because they're a joke outlet. I just thought it was funny.
No, sir. To be fair, he looks like he has no idea what he's doing.
He
does. He's wearing AirPods. He looks
He has more experience than Carrick did, than Fletcher did, than Ole did. He has experience as assistant coach. He might look like a goofball.
No, he looks just out of sorts.
I know. It's because that.
Even you and me know that like half of the game in like world football is like the appearance of how you look.
I know.
Ole sitting on the sidelines watching an iPad while like McKenna and Carrick are like kind of telling him what they think he should do. And he looks like he has no clue. It's probably what's going on. And the American guy with the earbuds in listened to like Dre during the game.
I don't know what he's listening.
It's not a good look. It's like, I'd be like, if I was this boy, I'd be like, take out the goddamn AirPods. Yeah. And if you're on the radio with somebody, make it look like a goddamn radio, like you're doing something smart, you know? Like,
you rock one. You don't need both. I agree. He's like, Chris, help us help you, bro.
Perception's reality. He looks like you and me out there would look like more official than him. Let's get into the fan questions here. Oh, my God. Sirs, isn't this basically the same team that used to go down 1 or 2-0 in the first half, then come back and smash 3 to win it in the last minute under Ole? What happened? This team is becoming a real wet blanket to my weekends.
It's that mentality, you know? It's the mentality. We picked on players, but it's like the systemic mentality. It's like it needs more than half of the starting 11 needs to be like called in a major way. And it's beyond just like the normal, like Paul Pogba's of the world. It's like Harry, Bruno, Marcus. It's like we got like an attitude of a bunch of fucking wimps. Because I think it's an element of what we talked about earlier. Is like we're basically a social media company. You know, it's like it's really not about the product on the field to the people running this club. They care just about money, 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 money always. So like for them, it's about engagement, clicks, tweets, all that shit. That we don't give a fuck about, you know, when the players do it, it all makes us cringe, but they actually probably have to, you know, a lot of the time they're probably having a fucking gun to their head, be like, you got to tweet, you're the captain, you got to tweet, doesn't matter if you get slayed, no, you know, no news is bad news in their mind, no tweets are bad tweets, so they're just, sir, we're really in trouble, and it's going to take a long time, and I think the thing that we can lean back on once these fuckers are gone, because it's going to be until they're gone. Dude, our fucking history is unbelievable. The fans are unbelievable. Oh, and the academy right now is actually very good. Like, the academy is full of some unbelievable talent. I think it's the strongest academy we've had in decades. So there's something to build here, but we do need, like, we just need competent people, sir. Because even the things that you were talking about, the dealing, selling Rashford, Bruno, that's $200 million, maybe more. You have to have someone competent that can spend it and get deals to sell them. So it's like, dude, the people, you trust fucking Matt Judge? That guy is, you want to talk about CV? He's talking about that idiot CV. He's a fucking idiot. He doesn't know anything, bro. And no, that's the whole team is a bunch of fucking idiots. They're all Matt Judges and Glazers and John Murtaugh's. It's, Scholes said it. Manchester United should have the best, bro. Assistant managers that Fergie used to have were unfucking believable. Bringing the best from Portugal, the best from the Netherlands, sir. And it's just like we have probably one of the worst DOFs in the league, probably have one of the worst CEOs in the league, and we certainly have the worst owners in the league. So,
well, it shows your priority. It shows the board's priorities. This is all it does, is it shows you what the Glazers care about. They said they're going to engage with the fans. They said they're going to rebuild the stadium. Wah, 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 wah. By the way, I tweeted out like when Must, the supporters group, bought that load of crap from Joel Glazer when he said the letter. They all bought it hook, line, and sinker. I tweeted out, fuck that. They ain't going to do shit. And by the way,
they haven't done shit.
They haven't done it. So that's the problem. It's always hashtag Glazers out. We got to get the protests, get that green and gold. That's what it's all about right now. This is it's a rough time to be a fan, but I like you said, this history of this club will never die. Manchester United will be back. And oh, by the way, it's going to be amazing when we're back. It's just going to take a little while. Pod therapy. That's what we got it. At the Alex Davis 33, quote, I thought we had another game today. Why did NBC show a replay of the Burnley game?
Yeah, I played the presser from Ralph at Burnley at Turf Mordor, and I didn't even realize because it's like this is also same. Very applicable. This is the same game. We wasted chances. We weren't physical enough. We checked out. Didn't play 90 minutes. It's like it's on repeat.
It's not as bad as the Scouse Bastards loss. It's not. Quote, I was hoping for 3 points on my birthday. Big happy birthday to Ty from the American Red Devils. Really appreciate you. And appreciate you for being a Patreon member as well, Ty. Thank you so much. I guess another crap draw we'll have to do. How does this change? It's almost better not to score the opening goal and keep putting ourselves through this torture. But misery and pain. Nothing but misery and pain watching how inept we are. It is true. So I wish United could have done better for your birthday. But man, this is kind of where we're, how does this change? It changes with the Glazers selling this club and someone putting in the right structure like we talked about. People with the right CVs and the right positions. Work smart, not hard. That's work it. For wins, not social media impressions. You got to change this whole thing upside down. It starts with the board and it bleeds all the way down. It really does. At T Zolski, other than hashtag Glazers out, the only common thread manager after manager is the players. Not sure where to begin, but many of them have to go. It's beyond embarrassing at this point. And it might be better for the players to blow it up, right?
It might be, you know, because this team is, it's the only thing that's going to save us is new ownership, you know. It's not that hard. It really, the frustrating thing is, like, it really isn't that hard to hire smart people. Like, people want to work for this club. This is Manchester fucking United. This is one of the greatest clubs in the world, one of the greatest sports franchises in the history of fucking man. And everybody, dude, if they knew they had their shit together, they're like, we're not fucking around now. We're hiring the top talent. Dude, everybody would want to come work for us. Because they, dude, this club is fucking great. The fans are great. The stadium can be great. It's just that we have, like, owners that couldn't give a fuck. A fuck. 20 years, bro. They, like, yeah, I love that. We're going to fix the stadium. That was the bet. We do, because we know these people. We know these people, bro. We know what they're like. And when that statement came out, that it was horseshit. From the jump, man, it was always a lie.
What's that quote where it's just like strong men create good times, good men create weak times, weak men create hard times. Like, I feel like the back of United was built with strong men. They created happy times at the club. Everyone whoring out the sponsorships, making a ton of money, big wages. And then over time, that good cash rich environment just created this miserable culture that we have. And Bruno or any of these players are not to blame, but it's a cultural issue. It's a core cultural issue within this locker room that we've lost what it means to be a Manchester United player. They've lost the meaning of what it means to play for this club, that we don't have the leadership. And call it generational issues or whatever, but we have to find it again. And we need a leader to find it again. We need a manager to find it again. But like we said, we talk Poch, Ten Hag all day. They're hamstrung by the board, and that's how it's always going to go until the Glazers are gone. At two, Shea, quote, all sizzle, no steak. I truly believe if Ronaldo and Harry were dropped, we'd play differently. When one of your leaders is a big doofus and the other one is a selfish competitor, it trickles down. No one has the stones to drop Ronaldo because they're afraid he will leave this summer. What do you think of that?
I think they're afraid to bench him. I think he wants to leave the summer. I think we should have him leave the summer. With Cavani, facilitates more of a real rebuild because you have a lot of wages then you can really play with, especially with all these free transfers available. I think they're worried about him like fucking blowing up the locker room if he gets benched because he's toxic.
But that's also a problem, right?
Of course it is.
But that
was a mistake to bring him back. They should have known better.
But that's cultural, right? Which like in the Bruno, the hand waving, yelling at Dalo, you know, this type of stuff. It's not like a team. That's not good for the team. You know, and you know, I just think it's all about the team. Always has to be about the team. Look at how unselfish Wayne Rooney was playing for this team.
He got no credit.
Where he played, and that's the thing about Wayne Rooney. Like a fine wine, just gets better and
Dude,
better.
He's
but like
a
what he
legend.
Sacrificed, played midfield, played striker, you know, played a second fiddle to Ronaldo, whatever it took for the team. And like, he's the type of player. And you know what? Maybe he'll come back and manage this. I don't know. Maybe it's something like that. Or he should be the technical director, our head of culture, or something. Something to show the players about like what being in the media did to him and
had
how
a grit, had a grit.
You know, not, something, you know, he that, and that's where like the Fletchers of the world should be. They should be on the periphery around the facility, making sure the Man United history and people know what it's like to play for the club, not in the technical. You know what I'm saying? There's a place for them. Van der Sar could be the CEO because he has experience at Ajax. They're doing well, right?
It'd be a perfect
appointment. Experienced first.
Yeah.
Then you can be appointed, and then give the Fletchers and the Carricks, these guys, their time in different types of roles. There's a role for them. I'm not saying get rid of these guys, but I'm saying they need balance. We need balance at Manchester United. We don't have it. So that is the podcast. When the club's in crisis, the American Red Devils go deep.
Hour 40. Stick a fork in this thing, sir. This is a record.
This is a record slide. Manager fired.
I know.
And a record slide. So shout out to everyone who got up early. You guys are the real MVPs. America Red Devils are for fans, by fans. Support the podcast. Check out our Patreon, www.patreon.com/AmericaRedDevils. Check out our website, www.americaredevils.com. Click on store. Write a review on iTunes. Sir, give them the top downloads the last 7 days.
Number one, how you doing? How you doing? Sanford, Florida. Floral Park, New York. Amsterdam, Netherlands. La Quinta, California. Houston, Texas. Ponte Vedra, Florida. Raleigh, North Carolina. Brookshire, Texas, Oslo, Norway, and last but not least, Las Vegas, Nevada. Also got Hillsborough, New Jersey on the list. Denver, Colorado Springs. Sir, appreciate all
Las
American
Vegas,
Devils.
Las Vegas, Nevada, California.
Nevada, Nevada. Sir, I've been up since 4 a.m. And you know what? Manchester United is going to be the death of me, this team.
For the record, we talk about this team this long if we had a pot or not. I don't even... Sometimes I forget we're doing a pod, so that's why it goes a little long. We'll tighten it up. When the Cubs are in crisis, we usually tighten up a little bit, but this is just...
This is a long one.
record-breaking slide, Wrap it up, B. Give me that outro music.
You ready? 20 times. I think we're going to be singing this for a while, guys. Have a good one.